Ladies and gentlemen, morning to you all. Welcome. Exactly. Now, got a few things to say. If October means hay fever for you, well, I feel for you. But for some students in the community, October, now I don't think there are many in our church, but October means the end to 12 years of study and then exams. If October means for you a chance to get out into the garden and plant and then admire your blooms, then that's something that we can do using our senses. Eyes, nose, touch, sometimes taste. But today, in particular, our concentration is on eyes, the story of blind Bartimaeus. There are times when we're blind and we can't see or don't see what is right in front of us, in plain sight. It's not something that is just for blokes. Sometimes I go and get the torch to see if I can find what I'm looking for, and it's just sitting there. We just don't appreciate what's there. The colour or the taste, for whatever reason. More on those themes later. Right now, we're going to sing, "The Steadfast Love of the Lord Never Ceases." Think about that. Aren't they amazing words? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Those words were written up on one of the churches on Brighton Road as I was going down the other day. Some churches have more room on their writing board, on their message board than we have. I don't think we would be able to put the first two lines of that up there, but let's stand up and sing "The Steadfast," and please don't sing it, "The Steadfast Love." We've got to sing it as if "The Steadfast Love." We are going to talk about this. We are going to sing about this. Let's go.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is Thy faithfulness.
That was about a 7, let's go for a 9.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is Thy faithfulness.
Well done. Turn and say howdy to somebody. Don't shake their hand, whatever you do. Wave to them. Blow a kiss.
Howdy.
Smile with your eyes meeting over the mask. Okay, now you can sit down because I've got some teaching to do. This is Rob Fudge, teacher extraordinaire you've got here. Man, are you lucky to have him. The next song, "The Blind Man Sat by the Road and He Cried." In this song, we have to do some clapping. So it's, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Not that kind of applause. So it's going to go, "The blind man sat by the road and he cried." 2 claps. "The blind man sat by the road and he cried." You've got it. Well done. And then the chorus is the same. Goes into the second verse. And then the third verse. "We all sat by the road and we cried." Now the fourth verse changes to say, "Jesus stood by the road and he cried." Clap, clap. "Jesus stood by the road and he cried." Clap, clap. "Jesus stood by the road and he cried. And he cried, oh, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, the way to go home." Then the fifth verse, Jesus question mark claps. So what we have to do there is, Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. You don't have to punch the air if you don't want to. So it's going to go, you might just go, oh, yeah. So it's going to go, Jesus, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Jesus. So it's just 4 and then 3, okay? Easy. Numbers. Piece of cake. Let's go. you can please stand. We're not going to sing this. We're not going to sing this level 7. We're going to sing it 8.5, I reckon. See how we go. That David Pryor. You can sit down now.
Well, well done. Yes, if we could only tap your energy, who needs solar panels? We could just generate the church and half the world with your energy. Fantastic. Look, some notices. Welcome to those who are visiting first time. Good to see you. Those who haven't been for a while, good to see you. Those online. Hey, look, next market, which is down at Ranelagh, is on the 11th of December, so more information is coming. We have our Advent Bible studies starting up in November. There is three groups that will be starting, so if you'd like to either do something on a Monday afternoon with Ian Kitto, myself, Thursday afternoon, 4:30, please let me know. There's a form out there. There's a plant stall today, and Elaine has told me she's happy to take IOUs. And the other thing is, there are three cupboards in the Sunday school room that are giveaways. They're not the nice new ones that are on the wall, they're the three older ones, so don't get confused. So if you'd like them, they're yours. All right, are there any other notices I've missed? Is Leon waving at me? Is that, what have I missed? I've just mentioned them. Yeah, so see Leon. Yeah, okay. So see Leon if you want the cupboards. All right. Sam, where are you, man? Come on down. Sam's out the back. Here he comes now. Bit of a drum roll. Hey, Sam, here you are, buddy. Jump down. Hey, look. Today, I thought I'd start with a little quiz. Now, what do we have two of that are not our eyes, but they help us to see? What do we have two of that are not our eyes, but help us to see? Does our hands and fingers help us see? No, not really. What about our feet? Do our feet help us see? No. Well, would it surprise you if I was to say that these can help us see? You can hear. Okay, well, let me do an experiment. I'm going to give you some instructions. And I want you to put your fingers in your ears. Are you? You can pull your fingers out now. Now, did you hear anything I said? Okay, I want you to shut your eyes. All right. Now, Sam, what I want you to do is go down to the end of the church, open up the door, walk into the little room, go around the corner so you can hear what I'm saying, can't you? Okay, all right, open your eyes. Open your eyes. So, we had, you don't have to actually do it. I'm just, it's an experiment. Okay, stop. There's a good thing about ears is we can hear. So what I'm trying to say, our story today is about a blind man who couldn't see, but he could hear. And he could hear Jesus talking and walking along. And when he listened and heard, he began to see that Jesus was the Savior. So that's really the tricky part of our ears. Sometimes we can hear things that help us see. A bit like directions. If I tell you directions, and you hear them, and you go in, and you understand. But if we can't hear it, it's really difficult. So that, Sam, is the aim today. Are you with me? All right, good luck. Let me say a prayer, and then we'll keep going together, shall we? Okay, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for our ears, our eyes, our body, the things that we see, the things that we hear. We pray that you would continue to help us discover you more fully in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. So as we continue our worship together, let me just check what we're up to. Some more singing is good. All right, thank you very much.
You know, there is a reason. That's that when we're talking before about how you can see with your fingers or whatever, see with your feet, that's the reason why you've got a little toe, so you can find the edge of the bed at night when you're staggering. When you're staggering to the restroom, you can see in the dark. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And we'll have the offering brought forward at that time during this song. Let us sing standing, please. I know you've got a mask on, but still sing standing.
Remain standing as we offer to God and dedicate our lives. Lord, gratitude is one of those things that sometimes we just take for granted. Today we want to be thankful and grateful for our lives, for the opportunities we have here in Australia, in Woodcroft, in the Vines Church. We offer today not only our lives, but the money that we have that goes towards the service in our community to making this place continue to kick along. We ask that you receive all the gifts we give in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Leon.
Good morning. This morning we are reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. The healing of blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord.
Be still and take a sip. Be still and know that I am God. Stay seated for this one.
Continue to open our hearts to you, and today's no exception. We ask that your Spirit would continue to fill us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, this week, as you know, our theme has been blind Bartimaeus. And like all scriptures, there's always lots of different ways we can interact with scripture reading, isn't there? And one of the things I like about the blind Bartimaeus story is, it follows on really nicely from last week's Sons of Thunder. Now, we know last week the Sons of Thunder, they came to Jesus and they wanted Jesus to do something for them. And they said, "Jesus, do what we ask you. And Jesus said to them, well, what is it you want? The same sort of question he asked blind Bartimaeus. Now, the sons of thunder, they had an agenda. They wanted to be in glory. They wanted to have some power. They wanted to live out some of the world's values as they'd seen lived out in the glory and splendor of Rome. They wanted a piece of that action when Jesus was to come and rule the world. They missed the point. And both these disciples had lived with Jesus. Their eyes functioned well. Their ears functioned well. They missed the point. They were blind to Jesus' mission. They were blind to Jesus' values. It wasn't until their eyes were opened when, at the washing of the feet, they discovered the mission and values of Jesus, what that was all about. So the next slide, we pick up that whole idea that Jesus' focus was on service and the radical call of Jesus. So today we're looking at someone who is physically blind but sees through hearing. So in the Gospels, there are three accounts of blind Bartimaeus. So if you had to look at, did this happen, did this not? The fact that the Gospels pick this up in three different accounts means that there's something really important about this account. So it's a bit like any movie. You know, when you're watching a movie and the plot plays out, the question you ask yourself is, why did they decide to put that in this movie? It's the same with Scripture. Why is the story and narrative of blind Bartimaeus in the Bible? Because it really conveys something important to us. Now, Jesus was passing by on his way to Jerusalem. The next slide. So here we have a picture of blind Bartimaeus. And so Jesus was passing by. So Jesus was actually going to Jerusalem. He was just walking through this village. Now, you know, was this a God coincidence? You know, one of those God opportune Kairos moments? You know, was it meant to be? You know, sometimes it's hard to know, isn't it? But Jesus and Bartimaeus have this life-changing experience. There are a whole variety of sequences and coincidence, God incidents. Maybe a bit similar to the woman at the well, you know, the Samaritan woman who was hiding from the rest of her community. She goes out and gets water for herself because she's despised. And then she encounters Jesus just by pure coincidence, God incidents. And her life is changed forever. A bit like so many different encounters in the Bible. That incidental encounter with Jesus transforms people's lives. And I guess we could say the same is true for us in different ways too, isn't it? In our own lives, there's been an encounter we've had with someone that maybe has made the difference to our day, the difference to our week, or maybe we have been the difference for someone else. Just pure coincidence. Down the shops, going for a walk. I don't know. Just a simple word. The incidental encounter was an honest conversation, and there was a connection. Now, blind beggar Bartimaeus, you know, really can't imagine what it would be like to be blind. I think, you know, the challenges would be immense. And like if we think about it in our own culture, you know, trying to organize transport, and I've met people who are vision impaired, and I just have great respect for their effort and energy to do anything. But when you go back 2,000 years, how much harder it would have been even then? Because beggars and blind people were despised. You know, in those days, if you had something wrong physically, they just considered that to be a sign that you were cursed from God. So that's how bad it was. Thankfully, we don't have that view today. But being blind, being a beggar, you know, they would have to rely upon, well, food, sanitation, transport. How would you get anywhere? They had their beggar's cloak, which I guess was their blanket and their bed and everything else that went with it. But I think, how stubborn would you have to be to keep living? Like, how stubborn must blind Bartimaeus have been to keep every day getting up out of bed and just living when you've probably had minimal support? What would you do for food? Where would you live? How would you know where you were going if people didn't care about you, didn't even like you? When he called out Jesus, Son of David, you know, his ears were working. So he might not have been able to see, but he could hear the crowd's volume rise. Something was happening. He could hear people walking. He could hear the conversation, the excitement build, get a crescendo, and then keep going. And his hearing was such that Jesus was a name that was familiar to him. So, you know, obviously heard about this Jesus prophet, Jesus Messiah. But what he does is he says, Jesus, Son of David. Now, what he's linking there is that line where David is the son, you know, of the same line as King David. So Jesus being the same line of King David. So he's talking about the messianic connection. So blind Bartimaeus, when he says, Jesus, Son of David, he is saying, hey, I know you are the Messiah. All these people who can see, they may have no idea, but I know you are the Messiah. Now, that got Jesus' attention. And interesting, it got the crowd's attention because the crowd just told him to shut up. Wouldn't you be quiet? Shut up, will you? What are you talking about? Stop being a nuisance. Important stuff is happening. You know, adult things are happening here. Be quiet. So, what I like about blind Bartimaeus was he had a choice there, didn't he? He could just be the victim and roll over and just go quietly. But he didn't. He just cranked up the volume. Jesus! Bang. You know, wow. And across that din and the bubble and the hubbub of all the people talking, Jesus hears this man's cry out to him. And, you know, one of the significant things about this experience is that faith comes through hearing the word of God. And the next slide has some key little points. Bart was blind but not deaf, listening with ears of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Seek and you shall find. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, it is such a, I guess, a something for us to, I guess, reflect on the fact that here's someone who has nothing in life, who's blind, and yet is able to have a connection with Christ when really he should be very angry at God. We know lots of people who are very angry at God because they don't get what they want. We know lots of people who are very angry at God because things go wrong. But he's blind Bartimaeus, who in his day understood that he was being blind because of what God wanted him, or was being punished by God. Not being angry at God, but actually being open to faith. So again, another choice he's made. The blind man who saw without seeing. So Bartimaeus was not spiritually blind. He was aware of his problems. He knew his limitations. He was aware of his need for help. Now, I think this is an interesting part, isn't it? Like, how many times do we talk to people and we know they've got some dramas happening? We know it. Other people know it, but they don't. Have you ever encountered someone like that? Have you maybe even been like that yourself? You know, where you just know that you don't want to open the door to the truth because what you see there is not really pretty. And it means you have to take accountability and responsibility for your actions. But we meet people like that all the time. When they're trying to blame and just avoid the truth. Blind Bartimaeus, he knew his situation really well. He knew he was blind. He knew he was dependent. But he also knew that God loved him and that if he could only connect with Jesus personally, his life would be changed. So Jesus, hearing his voice, calls him forward. In fact, he gets the crowd to do something. They've been so busy trying to tell him to shut up that he says to the crowd, well, you bring him. And so the crowd says, oh, be encouraged. The Messiah is talking to you. He wants you. So blind Bartimaeus, not to be put off, throws off his cloak and just charges down. Now, I'm not sure how a blind person runs through the crowd. Maybe they ping pong, it'll be like pinball, you know, bounced off the pillars and they just pushed him down as he ran. And eventually he gets down to Jesus, and it doesn't say if he crash tackles into Jesus, but somehow he stops. Bang. And Jesus asks the same question to him as he did to the sons of Zebedee. What can I do for you? Now, blind Bartimaeus, he could have said lots of things. You know, punish the crowd for speaking so poorly to me. I've got some dramas with my social welfare payments. Can you help iron them out, you know? What does he say? For him, his faith is the thing that is so significant. And, you know, in some countries in the world, theology or God talk is the central plank about how they understand the world. So when they talk about super, their super scheme doesn't involve how much money we've got in the bank. It's really their relationship with God. And in Bartimaeus' time, that was really it. Their relationship with God was the fundamental understanding of how they would keep safe. So the next slide. Jesus encounters Bartimaeus, and Jesus says, your faith has healed you. So his sight is repaired. It's somehow miraculously made difference, where God and humanity, this thing happens and a miracle occurs. And his life is transformed. And the faith in God was not faith in himself, but faith in Jesus. Now, again, you know, a reminder, faith doesn't need to be big. Faith doesn't need to be big. It just needs to be faith. And faith is trust. So whether you think you've got massive faith or very small faith, it doesn't matter. It is still faith. And it doesn't take much faith or trust to keep that connection to grow, like that mustard seed, you know, that small little mustard seed that out of which so much grows. And what's really critical is that it's Jesus is the object of our faith. What do you want me to do? God intersects with the faith of this person. So, because of this opportunity that Bartimaeus took with both hands, his life is transformed, and he actually chooses to follow Jesus as a result of his healing. And in many ways, it's a bit like this next slide. If Jesus is the answer, what is the question? Now, you remember when people used to go around saying, well, Jesus is the answer? Your generation would have been really prevalent, wouldn't it? In the 60s and 70s, it was really a key critical part of talking about Jesus and faith and life. Jesus is the answer, but what is the question? I have to say, one of the most challenging things I've had to do this year is stand up in front of young people, the majority of whom I know don't have a really strong faith, and try and work backwards. So if Jesus is the answer, what is the question? So how do I engage with young people, like at Prince Alfred's College, who maybe are really cynical about God, or have got no idea what God is, or, you know, who have had difficulties in their life to the point where they just are not open? So how do you reverse engineer that question? That's an interesting thing, isn't it? A bit like you with your grandkids. You know, you want these kids to have faith, so how do you reverse engineer it? How is it we can make a connection or an opening into? There is God. And having that as a starting point is really critical. So what does that look like? How do we experience God? What are the things in our life that shape us, bring us to question? You know, when we stand outside and it's a beautiful day, or it's night and the stars are shining, you know, what does that say about our existence? You know, where do we come from? What are we here for? Wow. So I guess the world in many ways asks us questions too. And then for people of faith, the reason we hone down on Jesus is because Jesus has a particular way and understanding of connecting and growing. It's about grace and forgiveness. It's about service. And these are some of the key values that are different from other religions or our secular world we live in today in the West. And I suppose we all have a different experiences. And I came across a person called Karen. This next slide. Now, any of you watch Play School? Recently? How long's Play School been going for anyway? Here's this diligent grandparents. Well done. 50 years. Well, this woman is Karen Pang, the one on the left, and she's been a part of Play School for decades. And interesting, she's was diagnosed in 2008 with bipolar disorder. Now, what that means is there's extreme highs in mania and depression. So she just bounced up and then be really low. And so for her, it was like, you know, she's supposed to be on Play School, relating to kids, and she's got this wild swings between her emotions. And in 2016, to the lead up to World Mental Health Day, Karen chatted with a radio station, 103.2 Hope. And this is some of the conversation I picked out. "It's been a real journey," she said, "of learning about my sickness, understanding it, and I think acceptance," she said. "And also actually taking responsibility for it and sitting with the unknown parts of it and just going, that's okay." Raised in the church as a child, Karen came to a deep Christian faith in her early 20s. So when she found herself walking through the dark valley of mental illness, she dug even deeper into her relationship with Jesus. Everyone will have a moment of, I don't know what's happening. God, this is dark and this hurts. Sometimes you need to take your inside voice and make it your outside voice, she said. Tell people, that's what's happening and this is what I have. And I think that's probably one of the key things of mental health. Often when things are going wrong, people draw in and shrink. But really what we need to do is find someone we can talk to. Mental Health 101, talk about stuff. She then added, "I also know who Jesus is now, more than ever, what he has done for me and how my relationship with him is held, not because I hold tight, it's because Jesus holds me tight." It's rather a beautiful image, isn't it? And I guess fundamentally, when we talk about faith, so often we put all the weight and onus on our effort. And we think the reason we don't have faith because we're not good enough or this or that. But we've got it back to front. Because faith relies upon Jesus' choice of us. That's the thing that sustains us when we run out of energy and ideas and ferve. And I think that's a really powerful part of that gospel story about Christianity that is different. God's grace, God's choice of us regardless. And the image of the next slide picks up is Jesus is passing by. And for many of us, Jesus has passed by and we've fallen in and are following with Jesus. And yet, like the story of the crowd and the disciples, sometimes we get tired and we stop by the road and sometimes we might be like the crowd. We might just think we know it all and forget some of that vital energy in life. I don't know, it's a really powerful image. I invite you to go back and read the story again when you get home or sometime and think about, have there been times in your life when you've been like the disciples or the crowd telling other people to shut up? Shut up. I know what I'm talking about. I've got the truth. Or are there other times when you've maybe needed to actually own up to your limitations so you can see Jesus more clearly? The world has real clear views on who's acceptable. The disciples had views on who was acceptable. The sons of thunder had clear ideas. Mrs. Zebedee had a clear idea of what life and faith was all about. But they missed the point. Jesus is always passing by. And at times we get lost in the crowd, maybe convinced we know everything, or maybe silenced by others. Sometimes we just need to pick up our personal power and make some noise and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm going to give you a moment to think, and then I'm going to get the band to come back up and lead us in a beautiful modern rendition of Amazing Grace.
Just before that marginal prayer.
She'll have lots of things to help us with. So, 1 minute to think, then Marge will come up and pray, and then we'll finish with a song. So, again, just maybe you want to turn to the person next to you. What have you connected? What is one thing you have resonated with today? Got 20 seconds. Go on. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the voices can get our attention. Lord, we just ask that we continue to find ways we can grow our faith in whatever age we are, whatever dramas are going on, and help others find you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, David. I'm reminded of something my mother said over and over. There are none so blind as those who will not see. And I fear that that's probably part of what's going on in our world at this present time. So thank you, David, for the reminder of really seeing with really all of us, our whole self, I think. As we come to our prayers of intercession, I just remind you again that prayer is coming consciously into the presence of God, about emptying our minds of all that weighs us down, making space to listen to the Holy Spirit as we remember again that God cares and God hears. And though our personal world and the world around us might be struggling, if we keep trusting in our all-sufficient God, then there is nothing that can ultimately defeat us. So let's come to our prayers of intercession. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We marvel that you hold us so close and love each one of us as though we were the only one you have to love. You see our needs, you hear our cries, and you meet us right where it hurts and bring gentle healing to our souls. Sometimes life does not go where we would like it to, and we are confronted with issues which challenge and disturb us, that throw us off track and leave us asking, what do I do now, Lord? Oh, Lord, how grateful we are that you hear that cry from our heart and you help us through the power and presence of your Spirit to overcome and find peace once more. We are so conscious of a world in chaos, trying to figure out how to live with the ongoing concerns and fears which this pandemic has brought. We pray for patience and understanding and right decisions so that we might be as safe as possible and indeed keep others safe also. Please show us how to deal with the even more dramatic issues which result as the outcome of climate change affecting the whole earth. We pray for serious listening and discerning by world leaders as they soon meet in Glasgow to discuss this issue. May wise decisions be made so that the future of our grandchildren and subsequent generations might be secure. Help us to do our part, we pray. And gracious God, we pray for political leaders in our country, state and federal. They seem to be always in conflict and power struggles, rather than leading our country in good paths. We pray they might put their personal agendas aside and consider the many needs of the people they are called to serve. May they concentrate more on the challenges which face so many in the community and less on their own desires. There is so much poverty and homelessness in this beautiful state of ours. There is plenty for all, but the weak do not have a strong voice. We pray, Lord, for those who do care and choose to speak out and try to bring change for those in need. We also pray for those young people in our society who are without purpose and who think it is okay to steal and destroy. Thank you for the caring people who seek to find answers to these and many other issues which damage our society. Those who respond to the hurts, heartaches, and needs of broken people, seeking to restore dignity and purpose to their lives. Please give them strength and courage to keep trying to make a difference. Every little step makes a difference. At this point, Lord, we lift up before you the family of that little girl, Chloe Smith, a little girl lost. What heartache that is causing. We pray that she may be found soon and return to her family. Lord, we pray for our church and we ask that we might live our vision to be a vibrant, growing community of faith, reaching out and reflecting God's love, connecting others to Christ. Give us insight and wisdom to realise our dream, we pray. Help us to look with your eyes upon those whom we encounter in our daily journey. Help us to reflect your unconditional love and grace to all who cross our path. And now, gracious Father, we know there are some of our friends and neighbours, loved ones who are struggling with big issues at this present time. Life-changing decisions, people struggling with painful situations, families cracked and broken, children finding life difficult. So many things that this imperfect world projects upon us. Lord, we lift them to you now in silence and with faith that you will meet them where they are and bring a peace. We are so grateful, Lord, that there is no place nor situation where you are not there to comfort, reassure, heal, lift up, and grant peace. We rejoice with those for whom life is going well, for the anticipation of new beginnings, for the promises and possibilities which lie before them, even in the messiness of our current environment. Please help us each day to be fully aware of your providence in our lives. Thank you for the deep joy that is ours, knowing that if we truly trust you, you will empower us to live victoriously. And may we each one see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly as each day we commit ourselves to being the visible presence of your grace in our community. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Just somebody make sure they get Marge a nice drink of water. She's got one. Oh, I was going to be worried that she wasn't going to be able to sing this song nicely. And we all need to be able to sing this song amazingly. Just got to explain that we are going to sing Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. I've got the words here, but I haven't got it up. And then we'll have the benediction, and we are going to then finish with the steadfast love of the Lord as like a finishing thing. And it's not just us singing it. You will be singing with us. So we've got a steadfast love of the Lord never ceases sandwich today. So we began with it in the middle part of the service, and then we're going to finish with it, okay? So it's a sandwich. In my head, it's a sandwich. It's probably called rondo form. Is that right, Daphne? Do you reckon it would be called rondo? Yeah. Daphne nods at me and then rolls her eyes.
You're a Waldorf salad.
Oh, dear. Let's stand and sing. Do that again. Do the intro again.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught. Unending love, amazing grace.
So as you go from this place, I pray that this week you may see more clearly the way in which God has touched your life and the way in which you may touch others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Thank you.
Every morning, new.